Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the show. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. You got a two-man show this week. JP and Cakes. Follow JP on Twitter at GlassJoeJP. Follow your boy Flakes on Twitter at Money Metal Cakes. Right now, we're happy to welcome in on a victory Monday here on 106.7 The Fan.
Woohoo!
Our friend John Keim covers the Redskins for ESPN.com. He's on the Mattress Warehouse hotline. Hello, John. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We are doing well. It's a victory Monday. We're pumped, John.
Can't you feel the energy?
It's the way it should be on a victory Monday.
The intensity there was unbelievable yesterday.
And what's happened to the offense the last 3 weeks? Because even when they were losing games, the Redskins could kind of move the ball down the field, and it was impressive. Is it all because they don't have Chris Thompson?
I think that's a big part of it. I mean, they don't have Thompson, and I think, you know, at some point, the Jordan Reed effect is, you're going to feel it, because he was obviously a very good player, and they survived without him for a few games. Arizona's defense is pretty good, is really good against the run, and so I think that hurt them yesterday. Once they started getting the run going, they were able to start moving, throwing the ball a lot better, more effective play-action throws, could be more aggressive on other plays. So I think that made a big difference yesterday in the second half. But yeah, I think the, you know, when, again, and not just losing those guys, but then you don't have Trent Williams, and you have a center left guard combo that is not what you would have had going into camp. So I think there's at some point that attrition has to have an impact. And you know, last week I didn't think Kirk Cousins played very well, so that didn't help either. So you know, you kind of add it up. But yeah, and Thompson was a huge, huge loss. I always thought, going into this season, I felt like he may have been the most indispensable player because they had nobody else who could do what he did. And not just catching the ball, but blocking too.
John, I didn't expect Piron to do a ton because, as you mentioned, Arizona, pretty good run defense. I believe the only running back this season that's cracked 100 on them in a single game is Todd Gurley. But you go back a few weeks and you see what Piron did against both the Giants and the Saints, going over 100 in both of those games, well under 100 in the last three. Is he a guy that going forward into 2018 is going to be the main running back in the offense? It's something that the front office is going to have to consider during the offseason. Is this a guy that's going to carry the load in 2018?
Yeah, and that's a good question because, you know, for a couple weeks he did look pretty good. And I know, like, the previous two games, they became blowouts, although the Dallas game wasn't exactly a blowout until later, but they kind of abandoned it, had to change what they were doing, and Los Angeles was a blowout fairly early, so that impacted what he was going to do as well. But I know a couple things they wanted to see out of him is the ability to get yards after contact. Well, he's still only at best, he's okay there. I think they like his running, you know, how he runs the ball overall. They like how he's improved, I should say, a lot more patient. It's led to some better runs. Can he be a bigger factor in the pass game? So I think you add it up. It's like there's still questions about him in a couple of those areas. So for me, I'm going to go out and look for somebody who could be a more dynamic player. And you watch what the Saints, for example, might do with Kamara and Ingram, and how they may be able to use them on the field at the same time. So you get some different look. So if you had, like, say, another running back and a Chris Thompson that you can use in a, you know, in a spread formation, and it just creates some mismatches. I think, you know, that's just one aspect of something they could expand their offense with. That's why I'm looking for somebody, you know, someone else. I think when I've talked to some other defensive coaches in the league, they kind of look at Piron and say, yeah, he's okay. So if that's the case, then I'm still looking.
Joined by John Keim, covers the Redskins for ESPN.com.
And not to cut you off, but I think if he's your number two back, then I think you're fine.
Right. Yeah, if he's the number two. Is it fair to say the special teams has been a disaster all season long?
Yeah.
No hesitation. Why?
No hesitation. A good question, because they weren't a disaster last year. And, so, you know, and again, you don't, it's hard to quantify the impact of the injuries. And I don't want to always come back to that because I think that sometimes lets people off the hook. And, but they were solid last year. I think so part of it is, you know, you can look individually at the plays. I mean, Crowder has been bad on punt returns, not just with the fumbles, but he's not getting any, they're not getting any yardage out of that. But 2 years ago as a rookie, that's what happened as well. He didn't fumble the ball, but they didn't get a lot of good returns. Last year they did. So they're not making really any plays. And then, you know, the play yesterday was an unbelievably well-placed kickoff. But then somebody's got to be alerted to the fact that you've got to cover that ball. So, you know, is that a function of having guys on there who maybe wouldn't have been earlier in the year if you're healthy, but at some point you're going to lose players throughout the season, so you've still got to do better than that. I don't have any good reasons, answers as to why they're bad, but you know, for a team too, you look at this team, you know, there are a couple of games where you could say, or at least one game where you say, if you play better here, I mean, that Dallas game, the second Dallas game, the both Dallas games, special teams makes a huge impact and kind of swings the game in each case.
John, going back to the positive, I tried to set a fantasy lineup with Capri Bibbs yesterday about 30 minutes before kickoff, and he wasn't even in the system on the site that I was using. For a guy who is brand new, that just got signed a few days ago, he made an impact in the game, and he took home the 36-yarder that Kirk threw to him. That was a beautiful play. Talk about that play and his impact on the game yesterday.
Yes, and there are a couple of things. When people say the Redskins have nothing to play for, I look at guys like Capri Bibbs because that guy has everything to play for.
Yep.
And the smile on his face after the game kind of reminds you what's at stake on an individual level for a lot of players. He was on the street for, 10 weeks, and he's thinking his career might be over. Has a dream that the Redskins called, that he was playing for the Redskins, although he said because he could tell because they were mustard-colored jerseys. So that's a little bit flashback to Jim Zorn. But, you have to remember guys like that. It matters to them. It matters to his future. So as far as that play goes, it's just a well-designed play because when you look at it, they play action fake the reverse, and when the ball is thrown, you have about 7 or 8 guys from the Cardinals on the other side of the field. So it was just well-designed and fooled them completely. And then the one thing with Bibbs, he finishes it off. And the one thing he was saying after the game is that, you know, in high school he scored 42 touchdowns, had 31 touchdowns, I think it was in college, something like that.
Yeah.
So his point was he knows how to find the end zone. If he gets to the second level, he feels he should score. So it was, you know, a very well-designed play. But again, it shows you what still is at stake for a lot of guys.
So I was trying to figure out how much of yesterday was the opponent and just a terrible offense.
I think a lot.
How much was the Redskins defense? Because the Redskins defense had given up over 30 points in 4 of the last 5 games. We saw what happened against the Chargers. And by the way, the Chargers then got bludgeoned by the Chiefs.
Yeah.
How do you assess yesterday's defensive performance? I mean, it was great to see Anthony Lanier and Preston Smith flash, but it was the Cardinals.
They have a banged up offensive line. I mean, it's a little bit like what the teams are facing in the Redskins. It's just the Redskins have a better quarterback.
Right.
And so when you look at yesterday, look at the quarterbacks the Redskins have faced this year. Blaine Gabbert is by far the worst. So, you know, other teams have faced him too, and they get the benefit of facing a guy like that in terms of when you come to stats and all that. The Redskins have faced a really, really strong group of quarterbacks. So you saw what the difference was. If they, you know, when you watch that game, I mean, the Cardinals dominated in the first half statistically.
Yep.
And they were losing at halftime because they couldn't do anything in the red zone. Well, you put Phillip Rivers in the red zone with those yardage totals, is that a different game? Well, yeah, probably. But it's Blaine Gabbert, and the Redskins caught a break, and they did not – I think they were, 0 for 6 in the red zone? So I think that was a definite part of it. But, you know, it's a team on their schedule. It's a quarterback who's in the NFL, so you get the benefit, and that's what happened yesterday to me. And there was some good play. I mean, Lanier Flash, Kendall Fuller continues to play really well, and there were some good efforts. But I do think, and, you know, listen, Gabbert threw a beautiful ball to the tight end on that last series that the guy dropped. But he was, if you put him under pressure at all, he was going to throw an inaccurate pass. And he has his talk to someone with Arizona who was like, you know, he has one speed on his ball, and it's a fastball.
Joined by John Kine from ESPN.com, covers the Washington Redskins. Doxa with a quiet day, but you kind of knew that going in with Patrick Peterson being his assignment. So you didn't expect much out of him. Quiet day from Doxon.
Yeah, but it wasn't Peterson who was covering him most of the time. Peterson a lot of times was on Ryan Grant. And on the touchdown that Crowder had, Peterson was on him. So I didn't see a ton of times where Doxon was matched against him. And I haven't been able to finish all of watching the game again yet. But, you know, early on, especially, I remember even watching it live, I was surprised that he was on Grant more. So, you know, some of that, too, could be, you know, quarterback under pressure. But it's hard, you know, sometimes with the receivers, it's hard to see until you were able to watch, like, the coach's film to see, what, is he getting open or what were they doing? He did have the pass interference penalty that he drew. And, you know, but, yeah, it was a quiet day. You know, I think that's the thing to me, like moving forward, what these games are about are finding out what can these guys do. And I think he's high on that list because you have to see, you figure out what do you need to do at receiver? What kind of player do you need to add? And when I talk to coaches, they absolutely love what this guy's talent is and what he can do. And they'll sometimes unprompted bring his name up as a guy like, you know, this guy's going to be really good. And in other games, last week against the Chargers, there were times he's open and he breaks free. And it's like, why didn't he get the ball? And sometimes it's not progression. Sometimes not part of the progression, whatever. But you see him getting open. And but, you know, at some point, I know fans want to see, you know, they want more than just, oh, this guy's got a lot of talent. You want to see a consistent game in, game out results.
All right, John, appreciate the time as always. That's John Kime. You can check him out, ESPN.com. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. Talk to you soon.
One thing I want to open up to callers now at 800-636-1067 is something we talked about at the pregame show. And I had this epiphany while I was on vacation from the Junkie Show, but I was still doing Redskins overtime. And it was why Jay Gruden seems to be getting a pass. 4 years in, my theory is people kind of like him. He's folksy, nice guy. We play some of the clips. Sounds kind of funny. And you don't want to be as cutthroat towards a nice guy, but it's a mediocre team. Once again, they're going to miss the playoffs. One playoff run in 4 years. Does this win mean anything for Jay Gruden's future as coach of the Redskins? Because when I posed it to you, and I knew that the rest of the Junkies pretty much were in favor of bringing him back, kind of giving him a pass because of the injuries, you actually kind of wavered yesterday and said, well, it depends on the last three games.
Well, I said if they looked lifeless and dead like they looked against the Chargers, then I have to seriously reconsider whether I'm going to bring him back for 2018. But they showed some fight yesterday, got the win at home.
Terrible Cardinals teams.
Beat a bad opponent.
Anything short of a win is unacceptable.
Again, it's low-hanging fruit, and you have to take advantage of it. And it wasn't pretty, but the Redskins did it. And they had the good fortune of being able to face Blaine Gabbert.
All right, do the final two games mean anything? 800-636-1067. Do these last two games mean anything to you as a Redskins fan as far as the future of the head coach? And do you want to see this team get to 8-8? We talked about this on Redskins Overtime yesterday. To me, that is so meaningless. This team has set up such a low bar over the years.
It's a non-losing season,
JP.
It
was a feather in the cap that they had back-to-back winning seasons for the first time in 20 years when they finished 8-7-1.
It's technically a winning season.
You shouldn't be celebrating that. You missed the playoffs and you're 8-7-1. And certainly, if you win the final three games and get to 8-8 somehow, to me, you don't celebrate that. You don't laud that. But maybe other people feel differently. 800-636-1067. We're talking Redskins because it is a Victory Monday, kids.
Why am I
not playing
the music?
You got to play the music.
I have to play the music. What am I doing? I'm derelict in my duty over here. There it is.
Redskins beat the Cardinals 20-15. Does this mean anything in regards to Jay Gruden's future as coach? Have you changed your opinion at all? And what do you think about my theory? I think people are giving him a pass because he's kind of folksy and nice.
I think that may have a minor part in it. But again, I think you have to build on it. You have to beat Brock Osweiler. Like, when you get bad quarterbacks coming up on your schedule, you have to take advantage of that. And I know he played well in relief when he came in against Indianapolis, but you have to beat him on the road.
And what happened to the offense? The offense used to move the ball down the field all the time, put up some points. The last 3 weeks, it's been gone.
Here's what's happened. Chris Thompson snapped his leg like a twig. That's what happened to the offense.
All right, we'll take your calls next. 800-636-1067. It's Cakes and JP. Junkies coming right back.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Talking about the Redskins 20-15 win over the Cardinals, and what does it mean to you as a fan? Redskins have a chance to go 8-8, avoid a losing season. That would be three seasons in a row if they were to get to 8-8. Where they didn't have a losing record. Of course, they were in the playoffs at 9-7 a couple seasons ago. They lost, of course, in the first round of the playoffs. Then they backed that up with an 8-7-1 campaign last season where they missed out on the playoffs because of a late season collapse. And then this year at 6-8, they have a shot to go an 8-8. Do you want that? And what does it mean for Jay Gruden? I had kind of this realization about Jay, nice guy. I think that's why people want to give him a pass. And they've had injuries. If you just had this season alone, I understand that. But I do remember what happened last year at the end of the season, the collapse, missing the playoffs, the Giants game. Giants had nothing to no reason to win that game, really. Nothing to play for. They were already in the playoffs, and the Redskins failed. Late season collapse, they missed the playoffs. And just the body of work, I believe they are 7 games under 500 now in the 4 seasons that Jay Gruden has been the head coach. And I had this realization that Marvin Lewis, how many seasons did he have in Cincinnati? 15, I believe.
Something like that,
and they're saying he's out. I saw some confusing reports, whatever.
Well, he's already checked out. Have you seen what the Bengals have done over the last 2 weeks?
And so 15 seasons, he got them to the playoffs, I think, 7 times.
But they never won. 0-7 in the playoffs.
Never won in the playoffs. Basically, Marvin Lewis, 500 coach. And to me, Jay Gruden, nice guy, really good offensive mind. I think play designs are amazing. Guys get open. But he has a feel, to me, of a Marvin Lewis or Norv Turner.
Okay, just
And
just
Norv
remember,
Turner, by the way, Norv Turner had a 13-3 season in there. But what would you say about Norv Turner as a head coach overall?
Underwhelming and probably maxed out as an offensive coordinator.
That's how I
instead
feel.
Instead of a head coach.
About now, Jay Gruden.
Now, just remember, from 2009 to 2014, the Redskins lost 12 games, 10 games, 11 games. They had the outlier season in 2012 when they went 10-6 and won the division, lost 13 games, and lost 12 games.
It's better, Cakes. I understand
that. It's better. Look, it's better. It's not great. They still need to win 2 in a row to get to 8-8, to get to that 500 level. It's not awesome. Trust me. I'm not saying he's the next Bill Belichick in training. Progress.
It's pathetic, though.
It's progress.
Cakes. It's pathetic.
I know it's a weird argument. I get it. It's those are some real dark days.
You shouldn't laud 8-8 if they're able to get to 8-8.
I'm not lauding it. I'm just pointing out. Is it not progress?
Okay,
it's progress. You have to take baby steps.
But you should
sometimes
be shooting for better. Here's my point.
I don't disagree with
that. The Redskins should not be happy with a 9-7 playoff run where you lose in the first round. You shouldn't be happy to be the Cincinnati Bengals. Like, right, if right now you said the last 15 years the Redskins would be the Bengals, well, that's better than the previous 15 years.
Oh, they'd kill to be the Bengals in the last 15 years.
But that's not good enough.
Okay.
You should aspire for more.
Understood.
And to me, after 4 years, yeah, I get it. Give them a pass. Tons of injuries. Chris Thompson, Jordan Reed on the offense, key players on defense like Jonathan Allen, who's going to join us at 8 o'clock. He's been hamstrung at times. He lost 2 1,000-yard receivers with the promise of Josh Doctson being a big silly, and we've seen he's not a big silly.
And Terrell Pryor expected to step in
another
and
one
catch 70 or 80 balls.
I get it.
Didn't happen.
But it's not just about this season. It's about 4 years. And 4 years ago, when you hired the guy, and if I told you, Cakes, this is what Jay Gruden's going to give you.
Right.
In 4 years, you're going to be 7 games under .500. You going to take that?
I would look back at the years prior to that, the real dark days, and say, it's not ideal, it's not optimal, but it's an improvement.
Yeah, but I don't think you'd say, I'm going to give him a fifth year.
And if you're going to get rid of Jay Gruden, I need to know the plan going forward. Who are you going to replace him with that's better? Yeah,
I don't have that plan.
Yeah, you don't have that
plan.
As
I said yesterday on the show, and you pointed out, Zimmer was hired the same year as Gruden. You need to find the Zimmer. I mean, what Zimmer's done with Minnesota, and I said this again yesterday, and I understand they're set up differently with the offensive line, better defense, and all those sort of things. Backup quarterback, lost his first-round draft choice running back. Traded away or let Adrian Peterson go, the Redskins, Hall of Fame running back, and they're going to be potentially a one seed.
They could have hired Mike Zimmer. They chose Jay Gruden instead, both from the same staff in Cincinnati. 800-636-1067 is the number. Let's go to Fred in D.C. What's up, Fred?
Hey, good morning, guys. Victory Monday. Hey, look, number one. Haven't we given up 30 points, like, what, 7-8 times this year?
Yes.
And, you know, the pick again, Minuski, from reading everything about him, sounds like a great guy. But most people are not going to be around a second year giving up that many points. Two first-round draft picks, Dotson and Allen, haven't given us anything. Going all the way back
Hold on. Stop for a second. Jonathan Allen was an impact player on the defense before he went down with an injury. To say he gave you nothing, I mean, you're not watching the games. You're not looking at the stats since he's gone out of the lineup.
I didn't mean it in that sense. I mean it in the sense that he's out of the lineup, just like a lot of players, just like Jordan Reed. You know, I'd say he hasn't really given us anything this year because of the injury.
Right.
Because of the injury. Not because I don't think he's going to be a good player, but on the field, you know, at least 10 – or more games, haven't gotten it.
So you'd give Jay a pass.
So I give Gruden the break. I got to give him a break. I really wish that they could lose the next two games and improve our draft position without everybody calling for his head.
Yeah. What's the difference between the 18th pick, the 15th pick, the 12th pick?
Yeah, look, if you're in the Cleveland Browns territory, that's when you really go full-on tank.
Right.
There's no reason for them to win games at this point, being winless. But the Skins, look, you build a bit of momentum going into the offseason if you can get to that 8-8 record. I don't think you go in the tank at this point. Let's go to Ramsey in D.C. What's up, Ramsey? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, good morning, Junkies. How you doing?
What's up?
It's a victory Monday, but it's no victory for me. Anyway, because my Skins, they're just disappointing this year. But I wouldn't give Jay Gruden a pass. I like the guy. I really do. He's a nice guy. But nice guys is not going to get us ball games. One ball game. My whole thing is he don't have the fire that a head coach needs to instill in his players. It's like he wants to be their friend. It's like when I was growing up with my dad, you know, my dad always told me, I ain't your friend. I'm your dad. You know,
right.
I'm your father. So you gotta hold these guys accountable for when they do bonehead plays like the dude Francis. You gotta hold them accountable. Look, you're gonna sit out for the next three games or whatever the case may be. But one more play I want to talk about. Like when the guy, the linebacker, had that ball. He had that interception ball. He took that ball away from that. I don't know if it was a tight end, but he took that ball away from that guy. I never seen Jay Gruden throw a flag this season, a red flag. I mean, when are you going to challenge some things? It's just ridiculous. That could have lost us the game.
Well, Ramsey, he has challenged it, but I get it. The only thing that I'd say about the fire argument, I've never been big on that because there are so many different styles of coaches that are successful. You do kind of like look for that guy that's in the movies, that's screaming and yelling.
Does Belichick look like a fiery guy? I mean, he looks like
he can get Rick.
Okay, he couldn't be more monotone.
But there are cerebral-looking coaches that have been successful. Like, remember George Seifert?
Yep, sure.
I mean, he won Super Bowl with the 49ers. There are different types of coaches, different styles. I just think he has a feel to me, and maybe it is the nice guy thing. He has a feel like Norv Turner at this point.
Right.
And I looked up Norv's record. 114, 122, and 1. I'm not saying he doesn't have a good mind. I think that Jay Gruden, if he had all the healthy pieces and he had all the weapons, he's capable of leading his team to the playoffs. He's already done it. He's proven it. Won a division. But to me, overall, he feels very eh. And I feel like if he comes back next year, we're going to be having this conversation again because they're going to be right in that 7-9, well, 8-8, 9-7 ballpark.
It also depends on who the quarterback is.
It's true.
I mean, if Kirk isn't the quarterback and you're looking at Colt McCoy as your bridge quarterback, then you could be looking at a 3-win season.
Right.
Let's go to Brad in Stafford. What's up, Brad?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks
good morning.
For taking my call.
Yep.
Yes, I'm just like the other callers. Gruden, to me, just doesn't motivate the players. He put players out there, but, you know, he doesn't hold them accountable. And like you said, you've seen this for the last 3-4 years.
Yeah, and people who want to give him a pass that, you know, it's about the defensive coordinator. He's the head coach.
He's in charge of the defense exactly.
And special teams.
Exactly.
The special teams abortion that we see every week. They had a guy, and I understand that, I think they already cut him, who, instead of downing the football on the 5-yard line early this season, ran it into the end zone after catching it and celebrating.
Yeah, but look, it's
they had the longest onside kick I've ever seen yesterday.
It's a boneheaded play. I can't remember that guy's name. But again, right. that's also a function of, hey, it's a new guy. Here's your helmet. Here's your number. This is the position you're playing. The guy's brand new to the team. I mean, Kirk is meeting some of his offensive linemen in the locker room like the day of or the day before the game. Like, so that has to factor in somewhat, I think, to the final record
again,
of this team.
If it was just about this season, I'd say give him a pass, but it's 4 seasons, 7 games under .500.
Am I getting the special teams coach's name correct? Is it Ben Kowitka? He might not be long for.
I think you pronounce it differently.
I probably do. He might not be long for the Redskins sideline.
Yes.
800-636-1067 is the number. Let's go to Andre in Manassas. What's up, Andre? You're on with the Junks.
I'm doing well. Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, the next time somebody says they need a coach of fire, go ahead and play that Joe Gibbs donkey laugh thing and see how much fire that guy had. I will also say this. I know, obviously, the coach is a problem, but I really can't judge him or put all the blame on him when he's playing on the Bruce Allen regime. I'm more concerned about Allen's record as a GM. I mean, what is it, Tampa Bay, the Raiders? He has a longer track record of mediocrity, and because of that, and granted, you know, Allen was the one who did choose Gruden. So I guess that might be very well.
Well,
part
Andre,
of the
hold on. You're giving Allen a pass. Mediocrity in my book is 500,
right.
And I believe his record since he's been here is like 39% winning percentage. So he doesn't even mediocre.
I'm talking about when his time, Bruce Allen as the GM for Tampa Bay, Bruce Allen as his time as GM for Oakland. I mean, through his entire track record as a general manager or president, whatever his title, he sucked. He's been below 500. So I can't really look at Gruden and say it's Gruden's fault when I have a GM whose track record is much longer than the head coach's, and his track record sucks, the GM's track record. So
right.
I got to blame the GM.
Great. Thanks, Andre. Appreciate the call.
I don't think anybody's going to disagree that Bruce Allen should be out too.
Oh, I think that would be 100% unanimous. If you
could
ask
you find
the callers,
somebody who's going to disagree with that,
I mean, I you'd be hard pressed to find one caller who would call in right now and say Bruce Allen's doing a bang up job. You got to keep him.
But we're talking about Jay and in these final two games. Does it mean anything for him as your opinion as head coach of the Washington Redskins moving forward? And I'm just curious, does 8-8 mean anything to you? Are you fired up to get to 8-8 and avoid a losing season? 800-636-1067. We'll take more of your calls next, but I do want to remind you, McDonald's signature crafted recipe sandwiches are here. Pico guacamole made with real Hass avocados, sweet barbecue bacon, made with thick-cut applewood smoked maple bacon and sriracha with limited-edition sriracha mac sauce. And now with McDelivery, you can order McDonald's on Uber Eats and get a signature crafted sandwich delivered to your door. Download the Uber Eats app and try one today. It's all at participating McDonald's. I'm loving it. Ultimately, you convinced me. Why not send A-Watt out? I felt like maybe it was beneath him to go out and get gas for me.
Losers.
But ultimately, it did send him out. And Cakes like wanted coffee or maybe a Coke Zero. He didn't come back with anything. But it's not that Drab gets the last laugh. I don't know who gets the last laugh, but Cakes pointed out, I probably spent $20 on gas that I wouldn't had I just gotten in Gaithersburg.
That's Carvon, JP, because he had Awad fill up his tank in D.C. And the gas prices, we all know this, are always higher in D.C. than they are in Virginia and in Maryland. So you kind of hosed yourself that way. But you should have done what you told me during the break. You should have told Awad to get about $4 worth of gas to get you enough to get from D.C. to another gas station.
And this is just a follow-up because earlier in the show I said I had an epiphany that Uber now does Uber Eats.
Yep.
And that I would pitch Uber Gas that for right. all those people that show up to work and all of a sudden they look and they're on E.
Yes.
Uber just shows up and they fill up your gas tank while you're working.
You should also use your Get Upside app to save cash on gas here in the D.C. area.
All right, but like we've been talking about the Redskins. Do these final games mean anything to you as a fan? Do you want to see them get to 8-8? And does it change your opinion on Jay Gruden? I was kind of amazed that Cakes yesterday kind of opened up the door that the final three games did mean something in terms of Jay Gruden's future. Because generally speaking, I was the only one of the four junkies who thought that Jay's job should be scrutinized. You kind of all were giving him a pass.
Right.
And I get it based on this season, but after four seasons and you're seven games under 500, to me, that's just not acceptable.
It's a little bit of a negative cloud for a Victory Monday.
Yes.
From what I'm saying, that's just my take. That's my view.
All right, let's go to the phones.
Let's go to Bobby in Elkridge. What's up, Bobby? You're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I definitely think they should keep him. I mean, it's not his fault, all these injuries and everything else. And then you have, they sign these receivers who don't pan out. And you have these high-priced players. I mean, I've been to practices. I've been to the preseasons, everything. And they say he wants to be friends with them? No. I mean, just like Swearinger, he's supposed to be good. When the running backs get through, it's like him and Josh Norman don't want to even try to tackle these guys. You know, these are high-priced players. And then, Swearinger takes his helmet off, costs us 15 yards? Come on, he almost cost us a game yesterday. You know, it's hard for a coach to try and talk to these high-priced players because now they think they're blank, don't smell.
We get it.
And that's just ridiculous.
So, Bobby, you're in the J column. Thanks for your call.
By the way, do you trust the front office personally, JP? After the swing and miss on Terrell Pryor to go out and identify a wide receiver to bring in and upgrade the wide receiver core during the offseason. I don't know that I have that much trust. Now, I understand it was a one-year deal on Pryor, 1 year, $6 million. They rolled the dice on him, and it blew up in their face. I don't have faith in this front office that they're going to be able to identify the correct talent to bring in here this offseason. I have serious reservations.
Regardless of whether you said wide receiver or anything else, when you said, do you have faith in the front office, the answer will always be
right.
No.
Yeah, exactly. Just end it there. Let's go to Eric in Alexandria. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. What's happening?
Good morning.
I see it like this, man. I know we had injuries and everything like that, but I really think that the base of it is on the guy who's evaluating the talent. When you sit back and look at Jay Gruden and you say to yourself, okay, he's an offensive-minded coach. Our defense is failing. Maybe that's why the defense is failing, because he's offensive-minded. But also, who's evaluating the talent of these receivers to say that Terrell Pryor was a good receiver? He hadn't been dropping passes in preseason and in practice. He hasn't been doing the same thing in preseason and practice for us not to play him in the games. I mean, you're sitting there, you're watching these guys day in and day out, and you see where their weakness is or whatever, but you still think that they're good enough for our team. I think that it's all on the evaluator, the person who's actually watching these players play and say, yeah, they're okay, we can use this guy. But that's where I think our problem is, man. And if that comes down to Jay Gruden, I think that's where it's at.
Thanks, Eric. By the way, going forward, never judge a player on highlight catches during training camp,
right,
and how great he is with the jugs machine. Because apparently that's what people were buying into with Terrell Pryor during training camp and leading up to the regular season. And, hello, it didn't really translate into success during the regular season for the Redskins.
Didn't work out for TP. 800-636-1067. Who's up?
Let's go to BD in College Park. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, man. I'm a little bit split on this, but I'm more into keeping him just for the sake of changing the way things have been done. I mean, JP, for God's sake, how are we going to say we're any different from Dan Snyder if we're just going to keep changing coaches, even when we know there isn't anyone that's better out there? And then again, is it possible that he's still a young coach with potential? Because I can see all the negative that he's done, especially when it comes to last-minute time management, and then him being too nice to his players at some point. But maybe those are some things that he can learn. But I don't know. I wish he wins the next couple of games just so he can stay. But I know there are some things that he has to improve on as a coach.
Thank you, BD. I get your points. And I think he's likely to stay. I think the organization will probably bring him back. I just wonder why there's less scrutiny on Jay Gruden. And I think it's probably because he's kind of a nice guy. People want to give him a pass.
Right.
The injuries and things like that. I just think we're going to be doing this next year because I don't think this team is going to go 12-4 next year.
12-4? Of course they're not going 12-4. What are you talking about over there?
Right. I think they're going to be a mediocre team again next year.
You grasp it like nine wins.
Generally speaking, why do you give a guy who's mediocre year after year after year? Do you want Marvin Lewis?
Here's the buzzword, continuity.
Right. But like I told you yesterday, continuity is why the Rams were going to extend Jeff Fisher.
Well, you don't stick with continuity in his case because he ran a Stone Age offense.
What was Jeff Fisher's average season?
8-8.
Right.
Every August 8th, you celebrate Jeff Fisher Day, right, as you should. You should throw a big party to celebrate mediocrity. But Jay Gruden has proven that even with terrible parts, like around Kirk Cousins, the offense works. If the offense has the proper parts around Kirk Cousins, it will work. At the end of the day, you have to evaluate him on his record. But it's not his fault. His number one wide receiver did nothing. That's supposed to be Terrell Pryor.
Again, it takes you don't
his
have to
number
go down the road.
Two wide receiver,
tons of injuries this year.
Josh Doctson, has been a bust, even though he has, 20? I think he has 29 catches, five of which are for touchdowns. So there's a little bit of a glimmer of hope there.
Right,
Jordan
Reed
can't get on the field.
What about last season,
Chris
Cakes?
Thompson.
What about the way last season ended? Isn't that part of the equation?
It didn't end great.
Wasn't that part of the equation?
I am stumping for the offensive-minded genius that is Jay Gruden.
All right.
That's what I want to keep around.
Right. And
you're making
a continuity argument.
I am.
And that's an argument you can make every season.
That is true. I like me some continuity, JP. We know this. Let's go to Paul in La Plata. What's up, Paul? You're on with the Junkies.
Yes. How you doing, gentlemen?
Good.
That's good. Yes, do I believe that Jay Gruden should stay as the coach? I believe he should. I believe that he's an outstanding coordinator. But also on the other side, I believe that maybe he needs some more experienced assistants. Second thing I'd like to say is the Ravens go through some of the same issues we go through, but they still find a way of winning. I don't understand how up in that crowd they can have signs of how much they love their general manager. And he makes a difference. Where Allen and our owner, I believe that the problem is with them. I'm tired of drafting based on we draft based on what we always needing something in desperation. Well, I think we need to start drafting based on what we need. So that's all I have to say. And one last thing, I'm a better listener. Y'all made me a better listener than a talker. So I like to say I listen more than I talk.
Appreciate it, Paul.
Okay, words of wisdom.
I think you speak fine.
In La Plata.
Now, one guy who they drafted last year who actually did work out is Jonathan Allen. Now he's
correct.
Been banged up. Jonathan Allen's going to join us next. The rookie defensive end out of Alabama, Redskins rookie, will join us right here on the Junkies. Don't go anywhere.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.